Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 14, the Common English Bible version. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless God's holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all God's good deeds. How God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things so that your youth is made fresh like the eagle. The Lord works righteousness, does justice for all who are oppressed. God made his ways known to Moses, made his deeds known to the Israelites. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient and full of faithful love. God won't always play the judge. God won't be angry forever. God doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing, because as high as heaven is above the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is for those who honor him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. Like a parent feels compassion for their children, that's how the Lord feels compassion for those who honor him. Because God knows how we're made, God remembers we're just dust. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the first time I ever preached in this sanctuary, there was fried chicken and colorful streamers and an overflowing dessert table and happy people. After greeting folks inside with hugs and handshakes, remember those days? I walked into the bright sunshine of that day and someone welcomed me with a bouquet of flowers made from the chancel arrangement. And another person gifted me with hot sauce. I knew only a few dozen names that day, and half of them were under five. This is what my new congregation called Celebrate Sunday, and it happens every year, including this one, on the Sunday after Labor Day. It was a really good first impression. The whole thing recalled to my mind a classic fable by author and Presbyterian elder Ann Weems in her book, Reaching for Rainbows. She wrote, "There was once a church that had only party rooms, the sessions party room, the music party room, the feasting party room, the do justice party room, the love mercy party room, the touch lepers party room, and in the center of the building was a large round room with a communion table and a cross, God's party room. There was in that church an air of festivity and brightness that could not be denied." Had I arrived in such a place? Could that be real after all? After 1 year of serving here, exactly 6 months with in-person worship and 6 months with virtual, I can tell you it is real. Sometimes. There is an air of lightheartedness and deep joy and faithful celebration that lives in the soul of this place. And at the same time, there is seriousness and traditionalism and a formality about holiness that is also here and also holy. Perhaps today on this Celebration Sunday, we are closer than ever before to the heart of that juxtaposition. While we co-create worship in this space, we also pass out communion and bless backpacks in a parking lot that has become, for all means and purposes, a temporary sanctuary. We invoke communion prayers here, and we tie prayers to the playground fence out there. We dress in clerical garb here, knowing that some of you worship in pajamas out there. We acknowledge that the Holy Spirit dwells here and dwells outside this place and dwells within us in both laughter and tears, in mourning and in celebration. In truth, I've had to fortify myself for this particular day of celebration. There has been so much loss, So many tragedies, so few solutions. Last Wednesday, we passed the grim marker of 200,000 dead from COVID-19 in the United States. Statistics from the CDC reveal that 40% of U.S. adults struggle with mental health and substance abuse of some kind. 31% report symptoms of anxiety and depression. 26% report symptoms of trauma and related disorders. 13% have started or increased substance use. And 11% have seriously considered suicide. Then this summer, in a study by Wallet Hub, Cleveland was labeled as America's most stressful city to call home. It was measured by how vulnerable each city is to COVID-19, by the average weekly work hours and divorce rate, suicide rates, and more. So what do we have to celebrate? Today's reading can help us to focus, like the Psalms often do, on the expansiveness of God's love, a concept the Hebrew Bible calls hesed, a word that appears four times in this psalm alone and throughout the Old Testament as a whole. That hesed, that faithful love, is strong love. It is loyal love that can never be annulled. It's love like the commitment of Ruth to Naomi in the Bible, or God's commitment to God's people. Psalm 103 is essentially a love song to God, an exuberant outburst of a person who clearly knows very well what it is to be forgiven, who really does believe in a gracious and loving God, who has experienced God's mercy washing over them like a gentle rain, and whose life as a result has been opened up to a whole new world of possibility. Consider that list at the beginning of the psalm, all the things that we associate with divine love, that we lift up in worship in our personal prayers: healing, forgiving, redeeming. As complete as those acts of redemption are on God's part, there is also in this psalm, if read carefully, an implicit acknowledgement that things aren't always right, even in the post-redemption life. Otherwise, there would be no need to be renewed like the eagle, or to have one's needs satisfied, or for divine intervention on behalf of the oppressed if everything was okay already. But it's not. And our psalmist would not be surprised at my list of the statistics of the current suffering. The pit is real. The pit identified in the Bible. Those places of darkness and confinement that may feel permanent at the time, that by the grace of God we can ultimately be raised up from and be set free. Some of you may know a young family from Fairmount named the Hudeds, who have three children, one of whom was recently baptized in our sanctuary. They had to move to Kansas City this summer, and they've kept in touch by their family participating in our virtual vacation Bible school, and we've been praying for them regularly. One good result of this church existing outside of the building is that ability to stay connected to geographically distant folks from Fairmount. The children's grandfather, Dr. Prakash Huded, is a doctor in Connecticut who contracted COVID-19, and so he is one we've been praying for. They think he contracted it most likely while caring for patients that he visited in four nursing homes. This dear 74-year-old man was hospitalized five times, spent 150 days in acute care, and 70 days on a ventilator. But praise God, we celebrate he is home now. Home from the hospital, and we continue to entrust him and all who need healing to God's loving care. And if you want to see this story for yourself, there's a link in the sermon text and hopefully in the comments on Facebook that you can hear in his own words his gratitude for the medical professionals, his emphasis on the importance of science, and his surprise that he's going to make it. For as much sorrow and pain as there is in this world, let us never neglect to find reasons to celebrate, to pay attention, to lift those reasons up, to tell people, for a grandfather coming home, we thank you, God. Another major theme in Psalm 103 is this theme of forgiveness that's just all over the ancient text about God's call to redemption through forgiveness. Because God knows how we are made, because God remembers we are dust, there is gospel here that will be fully realized with the coming of Jesus Christ, God's love made flesh. But this psalmist sings out of God's forgiveness as high as the heaven is from the earth. That's how large God's faithful love is. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins from us. My favorite moment in our worship services, one I really miss right now, is when we get to say the promise of forgiveness, the assurance of pardon. When I get to look at your faces in a full sanctuary, to glance around, and if I can see that far, and to look for your expressions. Do you believe it? Do you look like you accept that kind of grace? Sometimes I see tears. Sometimes I see gratitude. Sometimes confusion. Do we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and meanwhile think we aren't as wretched as someone else? Where would we be without the grace of God? For any of us, here or out there, who've spent time in a pit, you know that God's faithful love, I hope you know, that that love is profoundly real. And if you do, there is no mumbling the words of confession. Those of us who've been lost and found, wretched and redeemed, we want to erupt in song. We want to dance down the aisle like people intoxicated with God's mercy. We want to fall on our knees and laugh with relief and wear funny hats. As far as the east is from the west, so far has our sin removed from us. Alleluia and amen. But here's what Jesus would say. What he did say. Go and do likewise. Not seven times, not 70 times, but 70 times seven, which really just means stop keeping count. And if that is too much to grasp, start with one thing to forgive, one person to forgive, one time to forgive until we all lose count together. God's grace and forgiveness is never ending, but so too is God's promise to provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. We are held accountable for all the ways that we participate in injustice, the ways we are silent, the ways we perpetuate evil instead of passing on the mercy we've received from God in abundance. We have work to do, friends. Serious and life-giving work to lift up the cause of justice, to work for healing and racial equity, to increase access to medical care and good education. But it's possible, maybe even essential, to do that work with a light heart that comes from knowing God's grace and forgiveness, to find some reason to celebrate in the midst of the mess. To start in the same place the psalmist started, a very simple place, that my whole being praise the Lord, and to go from there. And now to get back to that fable, the one told by Anne Weems, where she goes on in the fable with all these examples of radical love and how it meets up with resistance, and it's worth reading. And she ends that tale by talking about this imaginary committee that comes down on the party church and accuses them of being too open too lighthearted, too fun-loving. So the church members, she said, held out their hands to this committee and led them to the birthday cake party room, like you do, with a table set with a large cake decorated and doves descending in red flames and words that read, "Happy birthday, church." And they began cutting cake and blowing up balloons and handing out party hats to the committee members, who grew even angrier and asked, can't you be serious? "We are," said the people. We're asking you to take communion with us. With birthday cake? Outrageous. Outrageous. We ask you to sit at our table and sup with us. Because God gave the Holy Spirit to believers, and that is something to celebrate. It's an occasion for a party. We are celebrants of the gift of life. We are community. We are God's church. And we are overjoyed we can be the church, a community of people who are many yet one, who are different but who walk together and welcome any who would walk with us. When we weep, there's someone to weep with us and to affirm us and to take us to a party. And when we see injustice, we must be about God's business of freeing the oppressed. And when we are faithless, we have God's promise of forgiveness. Isn't it remarkable that we can be God's good news? Is it any wonder we have a church full of party rooms? There's so much love to celebrate. I still believe I found that church, that it's here, that the celebration happens. Despite very difficult circumstances. But there are times we have to fortify ourselves and get ready for that celebration. We have to pay attention. So this week, I want you to find something to celebrate. It can be a small personal victory. It can be a glimpse of God's goodness. It can be, I hope, a newly found freedom to forgive. It can be mercy washing down like rain or a new commitment to work for justice and to keep working for it. It can happen in silence or in song while dancing or holding someone's hand. If you really want to retain that blessing, then tell somebody about it. Sing it out loud, write it down, lift it up, because this, my friends, is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and give thanks in it. And it happens also to be Celebrate Sunday.